You have your Bible, turn to the book of Philippians. And that is the message that we have, the power of the cross. That Christ became sin for us, He died for us, He rose again. That's the power of the cross. That's the message we have. That's the gospel message. That's the purpose of the church. That's the command that God has given us, is to go into the world and to share the power of the cross. That is why this church exists. That is the purpose. That is the mission statement, to share the gospel to the ends of the earth, to share it in here in Bologna, to share it in the state of Arkansas, to share it to the ends of the earth. And as we think about the power of the cross and what that means, when we look at a life like a man named William Borden, and many of you have heard his story, that he was the owner of Borden Milk that is still around today, and he owned this estate, and he was to inherit it, and he went to a stately college like Harvard and had a great life in front of him. And when we look at his life, that he gave all that up, and we usually hear the story like that. He gave up millions of dollars, all of his life, to go to Egypt to learn Arabic so that one day he could go and be a missionary in a foreign land. And he got to Egypt. He's there 3 months. He got a disease. What's the word I'm looking for? Contracted. Thank you very much. You guys knew it and I didn't know it. He contracted a disease. He died, and 3 months later, he's dead. And there's the end of his life. And as we look at his life and we say he gave up millions of dollars to die 3 months later in Egypt, the only way that that's explainable is when we read our Bible that tells us to go to the ends of the earth, to share the gospel, to give up all that we have, to not to treasure things here, but to lay up our treasures in heaven. As we think about his life and what he did, and the future missionaries that he inspired, the people that his life inspired, his life counted at the end. As we look hundreds of years later, we're still talking about the life of William Borden. And so when we think about that, and we think about the message of the gospel, that is our purpose, as we look at the book of Philippians, it changes the way that we look at it. Because we know that Paul is writing back to the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi was established, as we look in Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas went to the city. They went to the city in Rome, and here they are. They're walking through the town. They meet a group of ladies there. They begin to just share the gospel. A lot of times we hear the word about preaching the gospel, and I think that I think it's important to preach it from the pulpit, but I think most of the time when we see it in the Bible, it's more about sharing your faith. And so we see Paul and Silas doing that. They're preaching from the pulpit, but more importantly, they're preaching out in the cities. They meet a woman named Lydia there, and they share the gospel with her. Lydia and her whole family come to Christ. They continue walking through the town, and they're sharing the gospel with people that they meet, which is exactly what we should be doing, sharing the gospel with people that we meet. A woman who is demon-possessed follows them around for 2 days, screaming at them. And finally, you know, I know what it's like to ride in the car with Eli screaming. You know, for 15 minutes, you just want to scream. So as you think about 2 days, a woman following them and screaming at them constantly. And they finally turn around and they cast out the demon in that woman. Well, we know the story that Paul and Silas were then thrown in jail. And you know the story that at midnight, Paul and Silas were singing, and I'm sure you've heard about this in Sunday school, singing and giving praises to God, and immediately the doors were open, their chains fell off, and the prisoner guard was there ready to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners would flee. But Paul and Silas are sitting there and they say, "We're all still here." They share the gospel with that man, his whole family comes to Christ. And in Acts 17, that's the story of how the church comes together. Real quick, in a few short weeks, Paul and Silas establish a church there at Philippi, and they go on about to their other countries. So now Paul is in prison. He is under house arrest. As we read in commentaries, that almost up to every 6 hours, Paul's chained to a different Roman guard. So he uses this time to write a lot of the later books that he writes, as we look at the book of Philippi, and we look at some of the other books that Paul wrote while he was in prison. He's making the best use of his time. He's writing back and remembering those people there in that church at Philippi, Lydia and the demon-possessed woman, all of those people. And he says this in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." And so Paul explains the things that have happened to me. As we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28, we see that Paul tells all the things that have happened to him. What happened to Paul? Paul was beaten. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was stoned to death. or not to death, but he was stoned. He was left for dead many times. We know as we read the book of Acts, he stood before governors. He stood before as a prisoner before hundreds of people that wanted him killed. And what did he do? He proclaimed the word of the Lord. Every time we see Paul's life, he is giving his testimony. He's just sharing his testimony. He says, "One day I was walking down the road to Damascus and a great light shone. I was a persecutor of Christians and I became a Christian and became the persecuted." And he starts to share about his faith in Christ. He continues to share his faith. And so Paul says, all the things that happened to me in my life, they happened for one reason. And that is so that the gospel could be advanced. Because he says, for the furtherance of the gospel. He says, I was beaten. I was stoned. I stood before governors and people who wanted to kill me so that the gospel could be advanced. So that people would not go to hell, but could one day have a relationship with Jesus and one day go to heaven. And that was the whole purpose of what Paul was saying there. And so he says the gospel should be advanced. He says then in verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And Paul says the whole purpose, it's become evident to the whole palace guard. The word there in the Greek is praetorium, which is the whole Roman guard. And so he says the whole Roman guard knows who I am, and they know that of my faith in Christ. Imagine today if the whole U.S. military knew of one person and their faith in Jesus Christ. As we think about, we have so many other means of communication now, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or cell phones or text messages or nightly news or TV, whatever it is, we have so many forms of communication. But when we look at Paul's life, the whole Roman Empire knew of Paul before all of this because of his strong belief and stand for Jesus Christ. And so as we think about that, we see that it's become evident. We see that he was bold in his faith. And we see that because we see what we see in verse 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So he writes to them and says, you see me in chains, you see me in prison, you see that I've been beaten, you see that I've been stoned, you see that I've been shipwrecked and left for dead. And so you then, brothers and sisters in Christ, should be more bold to speak the gospel because, hey, I'm still alive. I'm still sharing the gospel. God has still proven Himself faithful to me. And what a message that we have that, hey, we're still alive and we still have a gospel message to share to those around us and to the ends of the earth. That is the purpose for our life as we read the Bible, that the purpose of our life is not to gain wealth and to gain houses and land and possessions that so many times it can be easy to fall into, but the purpose of our life is to live a life for Christ that counts, and in the end, that's only what matters. And so if that's true, then our lives should be focused on sharing the gospel. And as Brother Greg mentioned earlier, as caring for the poor, I love that your church has so many foster families because I think that's so biblical that you guys are reaching out to people who need the gospel. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for your church and for that ministry that you have. As we look then to be more bold to speak the gospel. As we look out across the world today and we think about whether it be Libya, whether it be Egypt, whether it be North Korea, whether it be China, all these countries are countries where people are persecuted for their faith. People are killed for their faith. And as we think about people who die every day for one reason, and that is because they believe in Jesus Christ. When we think about the freedoms that we are blessed with, we are so blessed here in America with so many freedoms, and God has blessed us in so many ways. And as we think about those freedoms that we have, how much more then should we be bold to share the gospel? When we look at our brothers and sisters who are beaten and persecuted and are persecuted and even killed for their faith in Jesus Christ, when the freedoms that we have, there is nothing stopping us from then sharing the gospel with those and the people that we come in contact with. We also see, Paul says in verse 18, he says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, that Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." Paul says the most important thing is that Christ is preached from our pulpits, from our lives, that Christ is preached. He says then in verse 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. As we think about, Paul is in prison. Paul was beaten, he was stoned. We've already went over all the things that he's been through. And Paul says that I face every day the opposition of death. And I could die at any point. And we all could die at any point. But Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, either way I win. He says, but if I continue to live, I will see the fruit from the work that I'm doing. And the question that I have for me and for us, for all of us today, if we continue to live, will we see the fruit of what we're doing? Are we doing anything that is developing fruit? If we continue to live, will we see fruit or will we not? If we continue to live, will we just have a few more days on this earth, or will we continue to have fruit for our labor and to see souls come to Christ and to see our church to grow, but not to grow because to be a big church, but to grow because people are coming to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I win either way. But what's important is this, that Christ is honored in my life. That as people, that as what one day when we have our funeral, that people look at our life and they say, he was this, he was that, he did this for a living, he did that for a living, he was a great man, all this. But at the end of the day, I want it to be said of me, and I think you want it to be said of you, that Christ would be honored with our life. That we gave our lives for the sake of the gospel, and that is the purpose, that is the whole reason that we live. As we look at Colossians chapter 3, and that says that our life is hidden with Christ. And that when people come to know us, they come to know Christ because Christ lives in us. What an opportunity that we have to share the gospel, to be bold to share the gospel, and that Christ would be honored in our lives. And that's the message that Paul is writing and encouraging the Philippian church with. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today. Help us to share the gospel boldly. Lord, as we look for a time of response, Lord, would you work in our hearts if there be something that we need to make right with you, if there be something, Lord, that we need to be more encouraged to share the gospel with those around us. I pray that you would just help us and use us for your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray.